It's Boss Barrel Radio, episode 100. 100 explosion. I am Griffin Hoffman. With me this week is Ryan Fielder.
Hello.
And Matt Lake back from vacay.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great.
Good, good. So, guys, how was Thanksgiving for y'all?
It was great.
Awesome. Football and turkey.
Football and turkey. What was your football game you watched?
There was a bunch of football.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of Detroit, which was kind of funny how that all ended up. But
they like playing a lot of minutes.
Yes, they do.
Went into overtime. The game almost ended in a tie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh, I didn't know you could end in ties.
Yep, rarely occurs.
Neat.
Yeah,
I know.
You know what else is neat? We're on episode 100.
That's awesome.
It's kind of weird to think back, you know, 100 episodes.
Do you remember the very first one?
Hell no. I don't remember freaking 81st one.
I think when I first sat down and joined you guys, it was around episode 25 or 30. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh. You weren't starting from the beginning?
Nope.
Oh.
Oh, well, for Boss Barrel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You're talking the old podcast when you're doing, was it Dining Co-op that you were joining us on?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt. Matt's been in it from the beginning.
See?
Yep. Since the Alt Source Games, I think, was the name at the time. So, it's been a long road. 100 episodes just in this one. It's a lot of time if you think of it. Like, each episode is about an hour to 2 hours. 100, you know, that's...
Yeah. And
it's a lot of days.
Figure one a week.
One week of material.
Yeah. It's over 2 years, or almost. But we haven't done it every single week. So it's probably been about 2 years.
We've been going for 2 years? Yeah. Yeah. About that.
Let's go to 1,000.
All right. I'm in. Actually, I can't do 1,000. I'm not in anymore. I set it up so we can go up to 999.
What?
Yeah. So
you mean we would make it all the way there,
and
then you couldn't do it anymore?
Yeah, we could not.
It's ridiculous.
The way it's designed is to have three placeholders for digits when I title the episodes, and once you get with just the way with iTunes processes things, like if I got up to I title everything as like 0, 1 to 0, 99. Now this one will be 100 because if I did it just 1 or 99, like once I get high enough, it would start to loop back around and get all goofy and shitty. Just the way that I hate iTunes' way of pulling this information into it. It's really frustrating. But you know what isn't frustrating, guys? Video games. They're always a breeze.
Always, yeah. Never frustrating.
Nope.
One bit.
Peaceful. Delightful. Yeah. Matt? You've been on vacation, which means you've had access to your systems.
Yes.
What have you been playing?
Well, I finished Walking Dead.
Oh, good.
I don't know if you finished it or... Have you finished episode 4 yet?
No, just got... I got the battery. And then... Yeah. And then I got to a little section after the battery, and then I said, I don't want to play this anymore.
Oh, that's sad. That game kind of ends how you would expect it to end.
Okay.
Based on the ending of episode 4, they kind of show you where it's going. But this is the episode where a lot of your decisions from the previous episode show up.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be really interesting to see how much this episode would change depending on what you did before. Because there seems to be a lot of characters who might not be there or a lot of dialogue options that might change. There's this person you meet where he mentions something back in, like, episode 2 or 1. Yeah, and it's like, and depending on your decision, that might play differently.
Really?
So, and there's a post-credit sequence where I have a feeling that if you didn't pick the right choices, it might not mean the same thing to you.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going to spoil the ending, but there's a post-credit sequence and you see something happen and you're like, oh, I wonder what that's about. But I kind of think I know what it's about, but that's because I was talking to specific people and mentioning something. So
do you feel like by the end of it, the next story is going to be about these same characters or involve them at all? Or does this wrap up Clementine and Lee's like arc in the Left 4 Dead universe?
Walking Dead universe.
Sorry.
I think it wraps it up, and I think people would be more interested in something different. You know, I don't know. I just think it's more interesting to introduce something new instead of going
maybe
on
something that's more like a video game.
Sure.
Okay.
Maybe they can make it more like a point and click. A little bit more like that. This series is point and click, but it's not as much of something like that, really. Maybe you could build something, you know, click on five things and then make it.
Oh, yeah. That'd okay, really so you're fun. Like Frank West. You can build shit in,
yeah, sure.
in the toolbox.
Dead Rising 3. But make it in the Walking Dead form.
I'm just...
Wait, you mean make it smaller and downloadable?
Sure, why not?
I think that this game is going to get a lot of critical... Well, it's already getting a lot of critical praise, but I think it's going to get even more once Game of the Year talks come around. And I am not a big fan of this game.
It's not the greatest. I mean, I think it's good, but I don't think it's like Game of the Year worthy or anything like that.
I'm having a hard time playing it. Like, every time I go into episode 4, I'll play a little bit, and it's like, I'm getting really frustrated because I can see where the game is going. Like, it's like, yeah, I know I'm good. This is going to happen, and I feel like I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't, so why even do it in the first place? I mean, I guess to see how it plays out and, like, to deal with my decisions as they happen, but I really feel like no matter what I pick, I'm going to be steered into something happening that's going to really shake things up.
Jeez.
Especially at the ending.
I hope I never have to deal with Armageddon situations with you. I mean, damned if you do, damned if you don't even want to play.
Yeah, I don't.
Just give up, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's Matt's smiling coyly, so maybe I'm entirely wrong and I need to keep going, but that's just the vibe I get from it. And it's just... Like, the story is interesting, and the way the decisions are all calculated is really fun, but I just, the more and more I play it, the more I just don't want to play it anymore. I just want it to be done. So, I'll have to force myself to finish it soon.
Yeah, they're not too long, so it doesn't take up too much of your time.
I feel like they are, though. Like, when I sit down to play an episode, it's like 4 to 6 hours, or like 4 hours. 4, maybe 5 hours, because I talk to everybody and interact with everything I can.
I feel like I played it for 2 or 3. Maybe that's didn't play it for that long, but I don't know.
Stop talking to everyone possible. You know, just go mainline it.
I mean, that's kind of what I started doing in this last episode. Is I just said, like, okay, like, this is a part of the story where they're like, okay, go talk to everybody and get their opinions on everything. And I'm like, skip. pass this choice. So
the answer is C.
Matt, you say it's not Game of the Year worthy?
No, I think it's good, but I don't think it's, like, outstanding.
Okay.
It's a different type of game than what we've seen. Well, not completely different, but it's something new. It's, you know, not a first-person shooter or not an action game or not an RPG, but I just think it's good. I think, you know, people had high expectations because it's based off Walking Dead, and I think they kind of did a good job with it. You know, not basing it on the TV or show or anything like that was a good idea. Unlike the Facebook Walking Dead game or something, which I heard is terrible, but I don't know. I think they did a good job. I think it looks amazing. You know, voice acting is fine, but
sure.
I always like moral choices in games, even if it's, you know, doesn't do a whole lot to it. I just like having the choice to do something and see how that works out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you should finish it. They're not. I don't think they're that long, and they're pretty easy. There's like you can barely fail at them, so.
Yeah, I you can't really fail at them, and I will keep playing it. It's just I don't know, like it doesn't grab me, and that's why I think that I'm gonna have a hard time listening to Game of Year stuff this year from people, because I think a lot of people are gonna be praising that game, and I don't really feel like it is competitive in the realm of games. But then I also think to myself, like, okay, well then what is really good this year?
Well, I felt the same about Fable 2. And Far Cry 2. I could not understand why people liked those games and people were just drooling over them. And okay. Everyone has those feelings about a certain game. So,
well, speaking of games,
is it their feelings towards the franchise, maybe? They're going to like it no matter what comes out. They're just going to enjoy doing what they do.
You talk about Walking Dead? Just people are just going to like it? Well, some people don't like the TV show. Some people think it's boring and bad and...
From what I've heard, everyone just keeps talking to me like have you seen The Walking Dead? Did you watch that? Did you watch that?
There are better shows on television. I feel like those are for people who don't watch TV very much.
But just like with Fable, the first Fable, everybody was drooling over it, and you know,
it was something different, but they didn't really hit the marks. And then the sequel is like, okay, they're gonna, you know, it's on a new system, it's gonna.
Uh oh. Pause. Wait.
There we go. But that was a new system, and like, okay, they'll improve on the first game, but they didn't really go as far as I thought they were going to go. And some people are sick of zombies. Zombies have been around. You know, there's still zombie movies coming out, zombie shows, zombie games, and it's
because zombies never die.
It's true. It's forever.
Mm-hmm. Zombies are forever. I think that'd be a good James Bond movie.
Yes, James Bond zombie.
That's going to be the next Austin Powers movie. Zombies are forever. So anyway, speaking, asshole, of games that may be overhyped and have a cult following despite their quality, I noticed you playing some Assassin's Creed 3, Matt, at home.
I did. I did about 99.9% of everything you could do in that game. And
wow.
I kind of got a little sick of doing it, but I really enjoyed that game.
Whoa!
I did, but I don't think it... I do have some problems with it, but I still enjoyed playing it. I think I could play any console Assassin's Creed game and still have fun with it. Like, if they crank out another one next year, I think I would be excited. I don't think I would have any fatigue with the series like some people do. You know, I thought Revelations was just fine. It's, you know, that's Assassin's Creed. If you like Assassin's Creed, why wouldn't you play Revelations? I mean, you don't have to buy it. You can rent it and beat it easily enough. I mean, and they changed a lot of things about this game. New setting, new character, some new mechanics. You got naval battles. So,
I mean, think back on what Andy and I were discussing before. Do you agree with some of our complaints about it, with its just kind of feeling disjointed, like the main story from the side quests, some of the bugs that were frustrating, maybe some of the frustrations with the end of the game?
Well, I didn't experience many bugs because I had a patch that I had to download for it before I played it, so that kind of... And I believe I heard that it fixed some of the missions where you had to chase people, so I didn't have to go through that chase sequence like you guys did, so that was good. But I still... The thing that I like about Assassin's Creed is that it makes me want to do side quests and do everything. It's just to your interest, and it kind of adds to the story. Some of the Desmond stuff, when you're in the present time and you're playing as him, was a little bit kind of screwball. Like, Ryan, are you going to play this game at all?
I'll play it eventually.
Well, you go to the...
We already spoiled it last week.
Oh,
so
you did? Okay.
Keep going with it.
I mean, when you go to Abstergo and you're facing these guards with guns, like, those guys should be able to shoot you down rather easily. You shouldn't be able to go up to 10 guards and take them all out. That kind of seems just dumb to me.
No, it was awesome.
It was there were some violent executions he did with those
plates. It's Matrixy, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It was really, but I thought they could have gone further with the modern day stuff. I think they kind of missed on that. But
maybe they will.
They explain it a bit by saying like, he's like, they're like, don't use weapons, try and subdue him. And then once you got a gun, they're like, okay, weapons free, go ahead and try and shoot him now. And by that point, you could just ice all those fools with that pistol by just hammering on it.
Was that fun?
I don't remember.
Like, during the game?
You didn't pick up the pistol.
No, I used my blades.
When you killed that dude who had the gun?
Yeah. I don't think I picked up a pistol at all.
Oh, well, you missed out, man. That was the most satisfying part of that game, is when you could just smash on the triangle button and shoot everybody.
I don't think I did that, yeah. Oh, well, it was easy enough using the blades, I mean.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean, that game's kind of mashy, too. I mean, it doesn't require much skill, and they actually made the combat easier, which is kind of nice.
I was going to say, it's easy to play, but difficult to master.
Yeah, a little bit.
I didn't even know if I'd go that far. I mean...
Well, I haven't played the newest one, but the previous ones, you know, I didn't even realize I was doing what was happening.
The previous combat in the game seemed like you needed more skill. Like,
yes,
there weren't as many prompts as there is in this game. It's kind of like Batman Arkham Asylum, like, with its combat, where there's a red icon on the guy when he's about to attack you. Oh, I just have to press B, and then I'll counter, and it's really easy. But there are some enemies where you have to do a certain combo in order to defeat them. You can't just do the same combo on every enemy. So that can get a little frustrating sometimes. But it's, I mean, you get regenerating health, so that's easy, and you get nice checkpoints. The story, I don't think, really had enough closure. The Desmond stuff is over with. I understand that. But,
yeah, that's in the bag.
But the ghost lady at the end, when she says, like, okay, I can't... She says something during the credits, like, okay, now it's my time, or okay, I'm going to go do something. Then she walks off screen, and then it goes to credits.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this seems like to be setting something up for her in the modern day or
exactly.
whatever.
Right.
So it's like, okay, I guess Assassin's Creed 4 is maybe set in the present? Who knows? But
yeah, this, ghost lady?
Yeah, this ghost lady from the ancient civilization.
It could be anything. It doesn't even really matter. You know,
she said she's going to go do something.
Yeah.
They left the door evil. Open enough for it to be a sequel while completely rebooting any sort of like way to convey the story. So it may not even have the Animus. It may not even be about Assassins versus Templar. Like, it could be a completely side story or a complete side story just with how open-ended everything wrapped up there.
A couple other things about that game. I really like the beginning sequence. I didn't know that actually happened. I didn't know you played as your father.
Yeah.
I did figure that he was going to be your dad, though, because they mentioned something in the Animus database. I looked it up when the prompt came on screen, and it said, like, your mother was with a Templar, and I was guessing that that guy must be a Templar, you know, so that kind of ruined it. But also, I thought it was really good that, while I was playing it, I was kind of thinking, well, maybe the Assassins aren't fighting the right battle here, because, you know, if you know American history, kind of Native Americans kind of get screwed over by the colonists in later years, and so you're kind of thinking, well, maybe the Templars are kind of doing the right thing here. Maybe the colonists aren't the side you should be fighting for. But
the game did a very good job with creating like a moral ambiguity for both sides, like making you associate. Like Andy and I discussed this last week, where the ending outcome of the game, where they give you like the, hey, you could choose this or this, and then here are the repercussions for either thing that would happen. We actually fell on different sides of, like, this is the Templar way, this is the Assassin way, as to which would be the more appropriate thing. So I think, you know, they succeeded in that, and their storytelling is to make it a different, or, like, making it not quite as black and white, like, oh, the Assassins are the good guys who've been, you know, like the Robin Hoods of in the shadows, they're like the Batman, and fighting against this evil, like, super force of... like evil Nazi controller men, you know. So this one, definitely you get the feel of like, maybe the Assassins aren't doing the right thing, or maybe the Templars aren't completely unjustified with their decisions.
Mm-hmm. A lot of
I thought since the beginning of the series their name is the Assassins. It's I never really thought they were good.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very valid point, you know. From the beginning of the game they kind of set it up to be like, who is the good guy here?
At least in the first game, you didn't know about this stuff until later on in the game, and then it kind of got revealed more in the second game. And
Right.
Still assassinating people.
Good guys can assassinate bad guys.
Assassinating.
Assassinating. Asinine.
Whoa.
I also played Borderlands 2. I beat that again. My God, is that game hard to beat on your second playthrough?
That's what I was saying.
That was really, really tough. And
holy crap.
I also beat the DLC, the Red Scarlet Pirate's Booty one. I didn't think it was that great, but at least you get a lot of loot at the end. You open a lot of chests.
Can you do it again?
Yes, you can do it a second time and get the loot again, I believe. I think you could do like the last mission over again and get the loot again, but I think you're limited just to two.
Just twice? You can't do it again?
Yeah, I think that's it. And I actually got to level 50, and I finally used my golden key, and I actually got a good weapon out of it, so I was happy about that.
The golden key? What is that in the...
That's like a pre-order bonus, or
you sign up for getting to level 50? Or
You had to like pre-order or sign up for...
So you were
like
saving
this.
It until you got to level 50?
Yeah.
So it would be...
Because I didn't want to use it at level 25 and get a gun that's going to be worthless levels later.
Yeah. And Gearbox is giving these codes away for the keys all the time on Twitter and on their forums and all that stuff. Yeah. Or if you sign up for like their Gearbox online pass thing. Not like the paid online pass, but just like this is my Gearbox account where I get Gearbox email from. Like, you get a free code for that too. Yeah. So,
what'd you get in the box? Was it
an assault rifle? And I think I can't remember what the other weapon was. I didn't. The other weapon I didn't keep. I got rid of it, but I kept the assault rifle because it did a lot of damage, and you know, it was a pretty good weapon. Yeah. I was happy about that. So,
did you go fight the ultra bad guy?
You mean like the level 50 boss?
Yeah.
Not in the Pirate's Booty DLC. They have a level 50 boss in that one. I tried fighting the creature in the main quest. Not the main quest, the level 50 boss in just Borderlands 2 proper.
Yeah.
And I died easily. You need other people to help you.
Yeah.
Maybe when a level cap increase comes out, I can do that and then go back and try to beat him. I don't know.
Yeah. Or you got to find a glitch in a...
Yeah,
in a small little area.
I don't think there's a glitch out there, but you know, maybe just wait. Maybe a video will come out.
Did you play it online with anybody or just single player?
Just single player. I don't have a gold right now.
Hmm. Probably a good reason, or probably reasonable to not have a gold right now.
When you don't live there. Yeah.
Anything else, Matt? Besides,
no, just those three. I bought some games, but I haven't played them.
What'd you get? What's in the chamber?
I bought Dishonored, Sleeping Dogs, and Max Payne 3.
Nice.
Like Max Payne 3 was $20, Dishonored was $25, and Sleeping Dogs was like $30 or something. So
you do some Black Friday shopping for yourself?
It was on Amazon, so
okay.
I didn't do. They were better deals than Cyber Monday. I kind of just did it a random day, and Cyber Monday deals weren't that good.
Yep. I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, deals have been good all
week.
Is
that before or after Thanksgiving?
Don't acknowledge its existence.
Oh.
Don't participate in it.
Yeah, it's dumb as shit. It's like Small Business Saturday.
Yeah, they'll come up a day with, you know, every day of the week.
Black Friday is now a Thursday, so the lines have blurred so much that it just doesn't fucking matter at all anymore.
Black Week.
Yes.
Well, that's a different month.
That's Black History Month.
Oh.
That's Black Month.
Do all your shopping in February when, what is it, March?
It's February.
Yeah, okay. When all the deals are 50% or less.
Yeah. So have you played any of those three at all? Haven't touched them?
Okay. I just ordered them when I was there, and then I think they got there the day after I left.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Which one are you going to play first?
Probably Dishonored.
I was going to sell that to you, man.
I already bought it, so too bad.
Jerk.
I get a case and the instruction booklet with it, so I get more for my buck. What did you play since last week? I haven't listened to last week's podcast, but what have you played since then?
I played a few games. I was just going on my Xbox and cleaning up all like the... So with the new Xbox, you know, when you get them and they're like, there's all the crap that's pre-installed on it. They're like, here's this video that shows you how to use your Xbox account. Here's Major Nelson explaining how to do the internet achievement points. So I went there and I was like cleaning all that junk out. And then I was going through all the demos and the games that I downloaded and like deleting anything that was like not a full game. So when I was doing this, I accidentally started playing Trials HD, the demo for that.
Oh, buddy.
I played it for probably a half hour, 45 minutes. It's kind of addictive. I mean...
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's definitely addictive, but again, I stand by my summary of like it's just a prettier Flash game. Like
yeah,
it's
it is.
It's something that you could find on like, you know, Kongregate or some shit like you know,
but
one of those.
There's achievements for it now.
There is, which, you know, hey, I'm always in for more achievements, but I just think it's weird to praise that game for what it is. But it is fun, that regardless, like, I did have a good time playing the demo for a little while, and the other thing was I was like, I could just play this demo for the rest of my desires for Trials HD.
Yeah.
You know, there's enough little things in there that I got a taste for it, and I... got to a point where I was like, I don't need to be playing any more of this because it'll just be the same. So I played Trials HD. Let's see here. What else did I do? I got Hitman Absolution in the mail. You guys watched me play a little bit of that a few minutes ago.
It looked fun, but slow.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be slow, yeah.
I started playing that last night and fell asleep immediately.
Great.
The cutscene was sweet, but, I mean...
Yeah. The intro tutorial level on it is great, because it's a really well-done tutorial where, like, any situation you get into, this nice lady in your ear is, like, really calmly telling you how to, like, deal with it, and you just feel really empowered, and it's not like, oh, you blew it, man! Okay, restart! But you can restart at any time, and you get, like, checkpoints and stuff as you're going on, but it's just really... It was a really nice tutorial, because... It just didn't seem super structured, yet it obviously was because it's a tutorial, but just the lady talking, like, it just didn't seem like so overt where they're like, okay, agent, crouch. Show me you know how to crouch by crouching. Look up. Look down. Are you happy with your control scheme? Like, everything just flowed really nicely. So that was a good start. And you watched me play the next level where I got, like, every achievement in the game just by...
yeah.
Doing a bunch of crap.
I watched you play it for about 3 minutes, and you got three, I think?
Yeah.
Three achievements?
There's a lot that I got in that level. It also does a really good job of, once you're in a level, you can basically pull open, like, the start menu, and it'll give you a list of, like, not necessarily descriptions as how to do it, but hints at how to complete, like, challenges. So each level will have, some like, 12 challenges or so in it, and... It'll be like, in this level, you have a challenge called Chameleon, and you need to put on a disguise of these four different people: the chef, the police officer, the drug dealer, and the SWAT team member. So if you can go and dress up as all those people, then you get this little mini achievement for the level. Or there's ones that are like, you know, kill the guy this way, kill the guy this way, kill the guy this way. Or even more obscure hidden ones that are like, just like the text is just like the way that Agent 47 would do it, or like, you know, don't do drugs, kids, or something like a clean life. And you're like, huh, what does all this mean? So
I want to know how much training the agency puts into changing their clothes for their agents.
It's super speedy, man. Ain't got time.
Yep. I mean, you can't even see it. It just changed.
The kind of the feature in this game is this thing called, what is it? Awareness or something like that. Anyway, you get a meter.
Instinct.
Yeah, nice. Thank you. You use that for, like, kind of like your superpower, and it'll show you guys' locations through walls, their patrol trail, and then you can also use it to, like, slow down time and go into, like, dead eye aim and just kill it's people, like, really quick.
It's like Splinter Cell thing.
Yeah, like tagging, but not mark and execute, but not quite, because it's more like, you know, Deadeye from Red Dead Redemption, where you have a meter that decreases. And but you get that back by doing assassin-y things, like knocking people out, hiding bodies, sneaking past people.
Changing clothes.
Like, just being a smart assassin will refill that gauge. And then there's all these different gradations of difficulty. Like, I'm playing on normal, and it's like you get everything. Like, you get your instinct, you get checkpoints that will let you restart the level at certain parts. You know, you get average enemies with average health, and then, like, your easy is, like, everything regenerates, everybody's weak, you take, like, no damage. And then there's kind of a hard line between easy and normal in the next three difficulties, where it says, like, okay, now enemies are going to be harder, instinct you can't get back, and, like, Agent 47 is very, very human. And then your one after that is, like, everything else. And then the final difficulty just says, like, it's you and a crosshair. There's nothing here to help you. Only your assassin instincts. Like, so, kind of a
probably
cool last little thing to put
shot
on there.
Once and you're done.
Yeah, but, like, no on-screen prompts.
Yeah.
You know, you just interact with the environment the way you would know how to, like, by pressing the right button. Instead of having, like, a floating Y above a coffee cup, you just see the coffee cup and know, like, okay, I can go get this.
I can drink some coffee.
Yeah. Assassinate this coffee. Press Y to kill the coffee.
That was nice. I like that.
I just want to take a bong and hit a hippie on the head with it.
Well, I'm sure you can do it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can.
I haven't made it that far. It does really make me, every level, like, that I've done so far, which is obviously only two, makes me want to, at the end of it, just go back and replay it again and look for more things to do and try different things that they have in it.
How far do you think you get, having never played the game or anything, and playing it on that hardest difficulty? Like, without any prompts or anything, but not like, getting killed, like, right away or anything. Just not knowing what to do with the buttons or anything, or the things in your environment.
I think you would not get very far at all, because there are a lot of systems that they kind of explain to you in a very measured, intelligent way, but just jumping into it without knowing anything and having any on-screen guidance, like, you would die so fast, and you just wouldn't even know how to end a level. Like, at that point, like, say that level I finished, like, the exit to it, which is, like, this rubber duck house. Like, how the hell was I supposed to know that was the exit?
Wait, did you finish that level?
Yeah.
I thought you just had to start.
Yeah, no, when you hold your instinct down, like, it'll show you key things in the area, and one of it is, the objective or the exit, so... If I didn't know that, I don't know how I would have found that. But, you know, I've never really played a Assassin or a Hitman game.
Yeah, me neither.
So far, so good. I'm liking it a lot more than I expected. Assassin Man, Agent 47 looks like Killface from Frisky Dingo.
Yeah, you know who I think he looks like?
Who is that?
Who?
Timothy Oliphant or Josh
Duhamel.
Yeah. They both look the same.
Oh, the guy in Transformers.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
The guy from Win a Date with Todd Hamilton.
He doesn't look like that in the video game, but that's who I keep picturing.
Matt, are you a Hitman guy?
Not really. I want to play Blood Money before I play that one. I actually own Blood Money on PC, but it doesn't run that well, so I'm just going to rent it on 360 and try to beat it, but...
Is that the last one?
Yeah, that was the one before this one. Hitman Absolution.
6 years ago.
Yeah. Absolution looks a lot better, though. It looks prettier in the stuff you can do just seems like more variety and just seems better implemented.
Yeah.
But I had also played like a level or two of Hitman 2, but I don't know. Like, I thought I hit a glitch or I didn't know how to do something during a mission, and I kind of got frustrated, and then I think I lost the game, so... Wasn't able to play it anymore. And
broke it in half, and you could never interact with it
I just threw it out
again.
The window. You know, so frustrated.
Used it to smack somebody in the back of the head, and it shattered.
You were looking for the big X font to go find it, but it just doesn't show up in real life.
The Oliphant to go find it?
Yes.
I also... we went to Jen's family's... Jen's grandparents' house for Thanksgiving this past weekend, so we were in the car for a while. And the car we were riding in had TVs and all that stuff in it.
Ooh.
So Jen's sister, her kids have a GameCube they bring on trips. So I was sitting in the back with the boys, and we played some Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Ooh.
And I was playing it.
Car trip.
Yeah, it made it go faster, definitely. I was playing it, and I realized, man, Super Smash or PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale is a lot better.
Really?
Yeah. PBR is a lot better than Smash Melee. Like, just... So, playing them almost, like, back-to-back, you know, the things that really stood out to me was in PBR, like, the weight to each one of your attacks just felt a lot more powerful. The control you have over your characters, like, in a really... Just every character moved more appropriately and more... It just felt like the things that I was doing... would have more response on screen. All the attacks felt very unique, and there was a lot of variety to them. And then it was also really nice to not just get blown out of the screen and look down and be like, oh, my health is already at 78 because I got in like a gangbang pileup, and now I'm already screwed like 10 seconds into this match. So in that regard, playing PlayStation...
So you have more control over your character?
No, it's, you know, it just seems more crisp. Like, I heard the comparison to say, like, it feels more like a Street Fighter game. Like, the input, the things you're putting into, or you're putting in, comes out of your character a lot more, you know, sharp than it would in, like, a Smash Bros., where things kind of feel a little clunky, a little loose, a little, you know,
Smash
finicky.
Bros. Always felt like a button masher to me.
Yeah, and, you know, so does PBR, but it also does, in comparison, playing them so closely together, it feels like that there's just a lot more fine-tuned quality to PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. Like, I know they're not, you know, that they're trying to differentiate from each other, and I guess I can see a lot more now. So, just a little update there. We played it last week before the podcast. You missed out, Matt.
Oh.
It was fun.
I didn't get to play it, don't worry.
Okay, I feel better. If you don't get to play, then that's good.
Let's see, what else did I play? I didn't play anything else, I don't think. I played more Halo for the Spartan Ops stuff.
Oh.
I played another mission
on that.
It's
just Horde mode with objectives.
It's not Horde mode, though. Like, you keep calling it Horde mode, and it's not Horde mode.
Yeah.
It's Spec Ops from fucking Modern Warfare. That's what it is if you need a comparison.
Yeah.
It's not anything to do with waves. It's
So it has nothing to do with the last game in Reach. It's not that same thing.
Sure. I don't know what that is.
What is it called? I forget what it's called, but there were waves in that one.
Oh, well, it's not that. It's definitely not that. This is a game where you get a mission with objectives, and you need to complete those objectives. And it's just like there's no storytelling while you're doing those bits. Like, it's just, they kind of throw you into this level. It's really sandboxy, like a multiplayer map. And they're like, okay, now kill this guy. All these other guys going to appear, kill them, and then power down this generator by blowing it up, then run away and return to the starting point of the game. But the thing that I'm still confused about Spartan Ops is, like, each episode has a video that comes with it, and I was talking a little bit last week on how I don't really understand how they fit in with the overall story. Still don't have any clue.
Are they supposed to?
Yeah. They're supposed to fit in, like, with the main story, and I don't know if they're happening simultaneously or if it's all a prequel or how that's actually working, but they're fun to watch, and I'm going to keep watching them as they come out. You know, they're really good-looking and interesting for Halo stuff. So, you know.
I'm excited to play them.
Yeah, I don't know. You'll
on that one?
I don't know. I don't think you can play Spartan Ops on the first disc. I think all you have access to is the campaign.
The campaign's probably a good start.
You need to put the second disc in and install it, or you can download it off the first disc, I think.
Yeah.
So, I think you can download it if you really want to play Spartan Ops, but you know, I don't think you will be able to.
No.
And then even if you put the second disc in, I don't know if it would work because I think you have to verify online or something like that.
Yeah.
As a, sort of like the online pass that's already included on the disc with no downloading necessary. So, kind of.
Well, eventually I'm excited to play them.
Just play the single player.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to play.
It's good. Let's see, what else have I been playing? Oh, that leads me to my second random thought. When I was playing in the car, I realized, like, oh, this is why handheld consoles are going to just continue to go down the tubes. Like, when you have, like, when I was younger, it'd be like, I bring a book on a road trip, or I bring, you know, a notebook to draw in, or, you know, I bring a handheld Game Boy or something like that and play games while you're on the car trip. But, like, no, these guys, they got TVs that are installed to the back of the car, and they're bringing, like, an old game system to play games as they can all play together. So, just like, yeah. If this is what's happening, then there is literally no need for handheld games, you know?
Yeah, but not everyone has that. I mean,
yeah, but it's probably cheaper to do that than it is to, like,
go
buy a 3DS
yeah.
or a PS Vita. You know, you could spend like, you know, like 40 bucks on a little DVD player that has a DVR or a component input, get a GameCube used, get some old games and a controller for it and plug it all in there and just get an AC adapter for your power cord. And then, boom, you know, you're at $100-$150 total max, and you're doing the same thing they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's already cheaper than any of those handhelds. And then they're also on their phones. So yeah, it's like, or their phones or iPods. So it's like, yeah, you know, there's handheld market has a tough battle ahead of them. Even though I did bring Paper Mario sticker story. I'm going to finish that someday.
Is that a picture of Paper Mario?
It is. Phone? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that game. It's so much fun. The music is some of the best Mario music you will hear ever.
It's a pretty bold statement, sir.
It's really good. Partly why it's so good is because it's so different. Like, it's not just like, you know, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, it's the wildest variation on that by, like, a jazz combo band. And you're like, this is so nice to not listen to the same freaking shit over and over and over again. That's just, you know, tweaked slightly. Yeah.
That reminds me of Hidden Beach Recordings, actually.
What's that?
They take some of the best, most popular, like, hip-hop songs available and turn them into jazz music.
Oh,
interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually really
cool. Do they do that in the Hidden Beach?
I don't know where it's at.
Oh, well, who would?
Yeah.
Maybe Leonardo DiCaprio knows.
Oh, man, when he stabbed that shark in the face. So good.
He was in a movie called The Beach.
Yeah, so I know.
Just clarifying.
Just to rewind that. I don't know if I played anything else.
Like you played a lot still. So.
Yeah, I got... I did. Fuck, I played XCOM.
Oh.
Enemy Unknown.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Oh, my God. I was so nervous about playing that game because I was like, this game's going to stress me out. Yeah, no, because I stayed away from it because I was saying, like, it's going to stress me out. Like, I'm going to lose squad members. I'm going to lose funding. Like, all these... The game is actively trying to not make you win, which, you know, it sets a great tone for
the game. Is it a single-player game, or is it only multiplayer?
It's single-player, but I didn't even look at the multiplayer features. Okay. Like, I would not want to play that with anybody else. That's one thing I would want direct control over all my stuff. And you're not doing head-to-head, I don't think.
I guess I don't understand what... Why get frustrated?
Well, because it's like you send in your very small squad into like a war zone, and you're controlling their movements based on action points and dice rolls. And if you advance a guy too far, he can just alert a bunch of aliens and just get wiped out in one turn. And then he's gone forever. You can't get him back. And he may be one of like, or she may be one of your... like super soldier veterans who've been around for a really long time with all these awesome perks and abilities and bonuses, and you send them in there and you make one bad one stupid mistake or a dice roll doesn't go in your favor, and all of a sudden he's gone forever. You're like, God damn it, no!
Yeah, there's just like a lot of mechanics in that game that you have to master that if you screw up one thing, you're just
gone
done.
Forever, you can't get him back. Like,
yeah.
You can't. Can you get him back eventually?
No,
like,
never.
By playing...
Zero.
Keeping and playing and leveling up someone to where that person had been?
You can recruit new people and level them up.
But then you can't, because it's not like... You can't just like go off on a side mission and level up your guys. Like, if you're doing missions for the game, time is passing, the world is going in more panic, you're losing money, there's... More people are going to leave your alliance. More things are going to happen. More missions are going to crop up that you have to choose. Like, they start out by saying, like, okay, you have to choose this mission. Somebody got abducted in Seattle, Washington. Somebody got abducted in Edinburgh, England. And then somebody, there's a mass alien attack riot in Australia. And they're like, which place do you want to go to deal with? And then they'll have rewards for doing each one. And then it'll also be like, this one's hard, this one's very hard, and this one's moderate. So when once you complete it, you know, you get those rewards, but then all the places that you didn't go, because you can only pick one, the other two places are like, oh my God, I can't believe you left us! And then their panic shoots up, and they're in danger of leaving, which pulls they pull out of the alliance, you make less money, you get further into this hole. And I got screwed in a part of the game. Like, I chose to not take a mission in one place, launch the satellite in the wrong place before I knew really how to deal with that. And then, like, everybody's panic was rising. I didn't have any way to deal with it. My I couldn't, like, spend any more money because I had allocated it incorrectly to, like, supporting my troops instead of building my base out to launch more satellites. So there got to a point where I was like, I have to restart. So I just turned it off. And then I found out that that game does not autosave.
I thought it did before battles. Oh.
No, it does not. It gives you a warning at the beginning of the game that's like, don't shut it off when you see this icon. And then that doesn't matter. So luckily I had made a save like two levels back.
I was going to ask you, how far away back did you go?
Well, it ended up working out really well because it was two levels back and a lot of time in between. So it ended up working out like almost perfectly where I could get back on top of everything and like I get my base moving in the right direction. I could play levels smarter and more like effectively and level my troops up better. Because here's the other really frustrating thing is like, so let's see. So my team consists of like all these people I know. So like, you know, Matt Lake, you were my first veteran who's been around from the beginning of the game. Yes. This gigantic black man with a mustache.
Always wanted to be a black.
I figured you would enjoy that being dubbed Matt Lake. Ryan, you are again. We were a little late bloomer in the veteran field, but you made it eventually. For some reason, everything worked out just really well for me. Like, I don't know why it did this, but like, you start the game, you're given these characters. And then it gives you a little tutorial, and then it's like, okay, here's your next mission, bring your guys out. So then I immediately went and like started renaming them to my friends. So, you know, my characters load out and they're Matt, the only veteran, as giant black man who's like a heavy support guy with like a giant machine gun and a rocket launcher. And then I put in Ryan, you, I put in Jen, and then I put in Hunter in the first match. And it ended up actually working out really well, where Jen ended up turning into support, a healer class, a medic, and Ryan ended up turning into a sniper, and then Hunter ended up being, like, assault. So I had, like, everybody went in their own directions, but then, you know, everybody kind of fit their role, which was kind of bizarre. And then, I, you know, the hard thing was, if your guys ever get injured in battle, like, even if they lose one little pip of health, they will be out for a certain amount of time. Like they can't go into combat for until they heal up. So they could just like, you know, sprain their ankle turning a corner and lose one little thing or take some damage. You could heal them with a medic spray and they still are out for a prolonged amount of time. So they got to a point where it's like, okay, all my veterans are in recovery. So I have to make all these new people. And, so, you know, just another thing you have to deal with is, you know, you're going to missions and if you don't play it perfectly, you're kind of in a tight corner for your next one because you may have to bring in some rookies. Like I brought in Gene and Billy the Cat and they both got killed in their first mission.
So steep learning curve?
Not quite. It does do a good job of showing you kind of the basics and how to play it, but it's more like one little mistake can put you at a real, real bad disadvantage. And if you're the kind of person that's like, I want to have no failures. Like, I don't want to lose a mission. I don't want to lose a country. I want to work hard at the beginning to have things go better at the end. Like, this game just doesn't let you do that. It will always be hard forever.
That sounds fun, actually.
Sure. I mean, like, it is fun. It is really fun. Like, even to the point where I got really frustrated and stuck, I just reset it back a couple, you know, to an old save. And I was like, okay, now I'm getting on top of things. So I'm feeling better. It even got to a point where I was like, I think I may just restart the whole thing and just play it better and play it more intelligently, which if I didn't have other games I wanted to get to, then I totally would. And I really like XCOM, like a lot more than I thought I would.
I've never really read anything or heard about it. Well, I've heard about it, seen it in magazines, but I've never really known about what it is, and it sounds fun.
It is. It's a lot more fun than I ever thought it would be.
Yeah. I'll definitely be checking that one out.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, part of the fun, too, is naming all your squad mates different things. Like, also, Matt, once you level your dudes up high enough, once they become certain, like, ranks, like, they get nicknames, which just form automatically. Or you can change them, but I just left them because they all were really funny. Like, Matt's was Richter, which I thought was pretty good. A little Total Recall reference built into your character.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think there's one thing the game does really poor. Like, I think if you, like, when you start the battle, like, you have this fog of war, and you have to go find, like, you know, the alien spacecraft or the enemies or whatever. And I think as soon as you find the enemies get a turn.
Yeah.
Which seems like it could really screw you over. Like, really bad, like, if you just move one of your guys up ahead, and then, like, the enemy gets, if you discover the enemy's base, all these enemies then get a turn themselves to interrupt you. And it just seems like, oh, man, like,
yeah.
Now I'm going to be screwed because I didn't expect that. And
yeah, you that is one thing that you will always be at a disadvantage for. So, sorry. When you're playing it, like, as you creep through this fog of war, you will move forward. And if you expose an enemy, 90% of the time when you do it, they'll expose you. There'll be a little cutscene of them reacting, and then they get one movement turn, so they can go and take cover, or with some of the other enemies, they can run at you, which really sucks.
That sounds frustrating.
Now, as you get higher through the game, you get new equipment and certain abilities for certain characters that will allow you to move forward without being like, you can move forward and locate enemies, and then they won't know where you are. So you can take advantage of that and have the jump on them.
Okay.
It's not fair because if they find you, you don't get a chance to respawn. But they do deal with that, like, late game or later in the game, where you get some things where you can combat them in that regard.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
I also, you know, only I played it for like. Played it for like 8 hours straight.
Jesus.
Yeah. And I just got to the first alien base where you go on the offensive and you can, like, go into their base and take them out. And I couldn't complete it because I started out, I made one mistake, like, right at the beginning. They're like, you start in this big open area and the map is huge, and they're like, well, here you go. Go find the dude and kill him. So I go and I, like, run all my characters out to all the corners of this one area to, like, because we're all, I started in this, like, this valley. So I ran everybody up the hill to the edges to get, like, a vantage point. And I was like, okay, like, I'll just wait here for them to come and I'll have everybody in Overwatch and I'll just be looking down this valley. And then this ended up just being, like, one small section of this gigantic base. And my final guy that I moved, like, triggered a full group of enemies that just ran up on him, killed him, and then my next group, like, had to, like, recover from that, and then as I pushed forward into the base, I just would slowly lose one by one by one until finally it's, like, there's just a mob of, like, four of these chrysalids come at me and stab me to death, and I'm like, there's nothing I can do.
Can you ever actually lose the level? Or is it you can keep trying, or does it ever give you, like, game over, done?
I tried after that. I tried to just push it as far as I could go until I would, like, I was losing all these different countries. We're pulling out of XCOM. My funding was, like, going down the crapper. Like, I wasn't doing anything with the game, like, playing any of the levels. Like, I just kept pushing, like, advance the story, advance the story, advance the story. But it wouldn't, like, you have to beat certain missions to advance the story, but I just, like, push time. And then you would imagine, like, if you got far enough, everybody would pull out of XCOM and you would have no money or no support. But that actually would take a lot longer than you would imagine. Like, a lot of countries can go into the red before they actually pull out, and the red goes very, very far.
What is XCOM? What does that stand for?
I don't know what it stands for, but it's like the Alien Defense Force.
All right.
The thing that would suck, though, is if you keep messing things up over and over again is eventually you'll just be out of money. Like, you will literally have no funds to do anything left with. Like, you'll have
you
no
can't
funds.
Build that up over time, or
no, you can't. The only way you make money is by at the end of every month, you get a paycheck from the countries that are in XCOM. So the more that are in there, the more that are happy, the more money you get.
Month real time or
in game month?
Okay,
yeah, that you're advancing to. Yeah, real month.
Huh?
So you're going through all this time lapse, and eventually you could get to a point where you have no money, you have no income, you have no soldiers because they're all dead, you can't sell anything because you have nothing left. Like, you could just stick yourself into a corner where there's nothing left. Like, that's a thing that's your fail state. It's not, that's the one that's more likely to happen.
And there's no mission select from here. It's all saved where you saved from.
What?
There's no mission select, like, menu. It's all from where you have your saves at.
Yeah.
Like, if you do what you say, you try to push it, and, like, you end up just can't do anything. There's no way except for your saves to go back and just say, I want to start from here.
Yeah. Like, there's not, like, I want to go back and retry this level. No, it's not linear like that. Like, it's dice rolls even on how the levels come up. Like, there's some big story ones that are going to be, like, your milestones, your landmarks that will happen regardless. But, you know, if you choose to skip a level, or if you fail a level and it goes away and you can't do it again, or you miss something, like, and you want to keep playing, you can't then, like, go and select, like, oh, I want to go back and do that again or try it again. Like, no, if it's gone, it's gone. The only thing you can do is revert to an old save. And you may not even get that level again. Like, it just may not happen. So, it's very dynamic.
That game sounds awesome. I can't wait to play it.
It's a million times better than I thought it would be. And, sure, it's stressful, but every time that I did something that I messed up on, like, I felt like, oh, this is what I should have done. Or, oh, I was stupid here. So I feel like the game is definitely justified in how it punishes you for messing up. It's never like, oh, what? Like, that alien had, I had a 90% chance to shoot that guy and he didn't get hit, and then all his buddies came up and ganged up on me and killed me. Ah, bullcrap. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
Like, that sort of fear could be put to rest, because that does not happen in the game. It's, you know, it's just like when one guy gets ahead of the group and you're sprinting into cover and you're like, well, I'll just try and hunker up here. Or one thing that happened to me over and over again in one level was, like, I'd take cover and the thing that's the most abundant cover in the street are these cars. So I'm jumping behind these cars for cover, and then these other enemies, like, take flight and shoot down at my guys, miss them, and hit the car. Then the car engine block starts on fire and the whole car explodes and kills half my team. And I'm like, well, fuck. Like, ugh, I gotta restart this now.
I feel like there's not that many good strategy games on consoles like that.
Yeah,
you'd be right.
And I'm a big fan of strategy games like that.
It's really good.
So, Ryan, did you play anything since last week?
No.
No? Oh, but you're gonna play Halo 4, I imagine, then.
Yeah, as soon as we're off here, probably.
Have you played the other Halo games?
Yeah.
Okay. There was somebody who I think it was Griff.
I was not excited for Halo 4. Now that it's sitting, like, right in front of me, I'm kind of getting excited for it. But
I'll probably be the same way.
I wrote a review for it. I gave it 5 out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good game. Yeah.
Compared to Halo Reach?
Better.
Better?
It was a lot better than... I mean, yeah, better than Reach.
Yeah, okay.
Reach was good, but I think this is better.
Good. Yeah, I've played all the Halos, and I wasn't excited for it, but now I am. I don't know why that is, but we'll see next week.
Okay.
I'll probably have it beat in a couple days.
Yeah.
Anything anybody else wants to talk about for games we've been playing before we move on? Matt, you got all yours covered, everybody wrapped up. Anything? So it's almost December now. Anything anybody is dying to play before the end of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I needed to play Transformers before the end of the year.
Okay.
I really want to get my hands on Far Cry 3.
Okay. You might be the only person who's excited for that, yeah.
I liked Far Cry 1.
Yeah.
Not so much 2. Yeah.
And I've heard good things about 3. It seems like it's more... It's still open world, but it seems like it's more interesting to interact in that world.
Would you say it's more loco?
Yeah, sure. God, that's... I'm going to hate that guy's voice. Like, the definition of insanity is... You know, okay.
It's loco.
Keep repeating that.
I want to play that game just to see how it goes, because from everything that's been shown about it so far, it just seems too big to be true. Like, everything that they've shown just seems like, okay, here's this really, really razor-thin story mode about you doing this and this and this and tracking this guy and his story, but then they're like, oh, there's hang gliders and there's, you know, banana shops and you can deliver pizza and here's a Club Med and this guy he's a lion tamer and this one you can go do an engine, go take a class in woodworking. And you're like, after seeing all these like trailers for things you can do in the game, it's like, how will you have this much choice when you're going through these almost like linear scripted things to get to this dude who's been dogging you the entire game? Like, it seems like there's almost two games happening there.
I won't know till you play it.
Would that be much of a Far Cry?
What?
Would that be much of a Far Cry for it to happen? No? Not good?
I mean, playing 2, there's barely a story there.
Yeah.
Like, the story that happens is, in the beginning of the game, you get introduced to some guy, and then you have to find him in the end, but there's nothing, there's literally nothing that keeps that going as the story goes on until presumably you find him, which I never did.
I didn't. I got the ending, and then I loaded up a save and then got the other part of the ending, and that was that.
The only one I ever played was Prey.
Yeah. Close enough.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the game Prey, or was there a Far Cry Prey?
No, it's
Prey.
Okay. Because there was, like, I played another Far Cry game on Xbox, like, called Instincts, I think, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
But
Prey wasn't.
I like Prey.
I don't like it.
Yeah, people are a little too hard on that game, I think. I think Prey was kind of cool.
Fighting your way out of the spirit world.
That was not cool. I like being in the spaceship. But.
Okay. Well, should we talk about some news?
Lay it on me.
Sure. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Wii U. Or more importantly,
talk about who?
Do you guys, would you like to own a Wii?
A Wii Mini?
Yeah, you see this?
Yeah, Canada only, apparently.
$99.
What?
$99.
I want to know what it looks like.
A Nintendo Wii. It looks smaller than a Nintendo Wii. So I just want to talk more about, like, the brand confusion here. Like,
so it's a new thing coming out before the holidays?
Yeah.
And it's not the Wii U?
It's not the Wii U. And it's coming out about a week, you know, it's coming out shortly after the Wii U's launch.
Oh, after the Wii U's launched?
Yeah.
That's smart.
And yeah. I'm already having people message me on Facebook that are like, hey, can I play these Wii U games on my Wii? Do I need a Wii U to play this?
Oh, man.
Like, like family members or our friends or people like that who are like, hey, so what do you think of the Wii U? Like, will it play all my old stuff? Do I need a Wii U? Do I have a Wii U? Like, people just not knowing what this thing is. Now combining that with this new device that's like, hey, it's a new Wii! Different from that other new Wii!
Yeah, it's... I'm going to feel sorry for people who are buying Wiis when they meant to get a Wii U. And
is it called a mini Wii?
I probably call it a Wii Mini.
Played by Vern Troyer.
Yeah.
Wii Mini doesn't have any Ethernet, or it doesn't have any wireless internet, and then it doesn't have any GameCube compatibility, backwards compatibility. So all it does is play Wii-ass Wii games.
Does it come with a controller?
Maybe.
There's speculation.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it'll come with the Wii remote, but not a nunchuck, and you know, but you know, the Wii didn't either. So,
Sorry for not listening to last week's podcast. But
God damn it, Matt.
But did you talk a lot about the Wii U last week?
I think, yeah, we mentioned it a little bit. Mostly the same thing that we've been saying all year is like, who's excited? Who's this for? What's going on with this?
I just think it's crazy that like they're taking like, you know, Wii controllers and having them. It's kind of a good idea. It's like, oh, you already got these, you know, Wii controllers. Now you can use them for this new console. But it's also like, you know, I don't have enough of these. I don't want to buy these old controllers for this new thing
it's
that you just got.
The same thing they did with the Wii from the GameCube, right? Because you can play old, you can use the old controllers on the Wii, couldn't you?
But the difference is you can use them. For the Wii U, to play certain games on it, you have to use the Wii remotes.
Oh,
yeah, it's kind of BS. Like, you should be able to use, in some games, you can't use the Pro controller at all, even though it should be an option. And, you know, your whole thing about this Wii U is this new gamepad, and you should be able just to, you know, use that for every game. You shouldn't be required to use that, like, something else necessarily.
And Nintendo has also gone another way and said, like, this isn't just for the casuals anymore. This is for the hardcore. This is why we're giving you this, you know, controller, the Pro controller that you can use just like a controller, and then you can't use it with certain games. Or else it's like, hey, you know what's awesome about the Wii U? You can play the games on the Wii U touchpad, gamepad, tablet pad, and then not on your TV. But then it's like, oh, hey, what's probably the best game for this? Zombie U? You need the TV and the controller. You can't just play it on the controller.
Yep.
Mario.
This sounds stupid.
The new Mario for the Wii U. You have to play it on the touchpad. You cannot play it on the Pro controller.
Yep. That was one of the games.
What is the Pro controller? Is that the
Super Nintendo controller?
It basically
looks like a 360 controller, except the buttons, like the A, B, Y, you know, like on a 360 controller, are below the right stick instead of being above.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the only difference.
It's pretty shocking.
What are they going for here?
Gotta get that hardcore gamer, you know? Not just the casual.
Does the hardcore gamer just spend money on needless controllers? Is that what they're
thinking? Some do, yeah.
I mean, I think your question is, what are they going for here, is going to be the question that defines the Wii U. You know, with the Wii, at least you could say, like, oh, what they were going for here was reaching people who don't necessarily play games with a controller. Like, you're giving them a different way to interact with the video game that may seem more natural. Like, if I bowl, I know how to bowl. I throw the ball. If I punch, I know how to punch. I know how to move my hands to make punchy hands. And this, it's like, you know, they're trying to cater to so many different audiences and serve so many different masters that it's turning into a just disfigured mutant creature. And then especially with their online shit that's going on right now, Matt, I'm sure you've heard about this. Mm-hmm. Like, how when you create your stuff on your Miu, or your Wii U, when you create your Mii on your Wii U.
What?
Yeah, when you create your Mii on your Wii U, it locks that Mii to that Wii U. So if I go on my Mii that I created on your Wii U, and I buy shit on my Mii, I can't take that back to my Wii U.
Oh.
Yep.
So you can only buy it on the console.
It's locked to the console. Yeah.
I suppose I've never used anything but my console to download anything off of.
Okay, now, just hypothetically, what if you got a new console?
That'll never happen.
And you need, and you're like, well, I have all these old games that I downloaded. I still may want them. Let's say your console breaks.
Right. Yeah. Like, I suppose you're right.
Like, it whatever rings, and it we rings.
Actually, I've thought about this. If my apartment were to burn down, the one thing I would save is my Xbox 360.
Don't you have a new one, right?
Yeah.
You have the Slim.
Yeah.
So at some point, you had to have switched.
I used a transfer cable.
Okay.
To do everything, but I don't know my password or any of that. It's pretty much locked on that console, as is, unless I transfer it again.
Good luck getting that password. That's a bitch going through that.
I tried.
That Microsoft online stuff.
It's a password that's probably 20 years old, and I have no idea.
Yeah.
And they just kept sending me around the fucking ring.
When I was setting Hunter up with a Xbox Live account, I was doing it through Jen's email. So, you know, it's at least we know what's going on then, or if things get lost, it'll go to her. So I'm going to try and set it up, and it's like, oh, you already have one of these. And I was like, what? Like, how? So we're like trying all these different passwords with Jen. We're like sending the passwords to her email to get it reset, go back to the website, like Windows Media Online or whatever the hell it is, and we go back to it, and it's like, okay, it's been reset. Now enter your new password. And I enter the new password. I'm like, this is the new password. Type it in twice, enter, and then I go back to the front page, and I'm like, okay, here is my email address that I'm using, and here's the new password I just created, and you said is okay. And it's like, nope. And I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. We just went over this twice.
Yeah. Yep. My email that I signed up for Xbox Live with, you know, 10 years ago or however many years is non-existent. I haven't logged on there for at least 7 years.
Yeah.
And they will not let me like switch emails. You can't do that without accessing the other email. So I'm kind of screwed in that regard.
Yeah. And they lock everything down. And even if you like, if you get on the telephone and talk to like an operator.
Oh, I talk to them for hours and they don't do anything for you.
Right.
Fuck you, Microsoft.
Yeah. So, you know, locking that to the console is kind of crazy. Kind of really crazy.
Yeah. Seems like a bad idea.
It definitely does, especially
seems
when
just
you,
a little bit.
I wonder how many people download stuff on the Wii.
A lot of people.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it?
I mean, Virtual Console was a thing before, I guess, PlayStation Network Store. Yeah. Like, Virtual Console was out there putting shit out a long time, more successfully than I think, you know, Xbox Live Arcade was before it really found its stride. Virtual Console is like putting stuff out like, oh, hey, check out all these old awesome Nintendo games that you can, like the Wii launched, and it was like
16 blocks or something.
Yeah, it's like download Zelda, Legend of Zelda for $10. You play this on your Wii.
Yeah.
It's an emulator and it's legal. Thumbs up.
Well, they probably figure, you know, they paid for it once. If they want to play for it again, pay it again, they will.
Well, what was bullshit about it was like, when that was happening with the Wii, and like a Wii would like crash or something like that, and you'd send it to Nintendo and be like, yeah, this thing is in warranty and it just died. Here's all the things that I had on my account that I purchased on my Wii, and they'd like send you point cards back and be like, okay, well, here you go. You got to go buy them all again because you don't have an account anymore.
That's better than not refunding you.
But it's still crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's freaking Nintendo. They don't know how to do anything efficiently.
It just, I don't know. It just seems like a really, really nuts misstep to not have that.
So did motion controls.
Well, yeah, right. But the point is, PlayStation Network and Xbox Live have already created a baseline of how accounts and internet access should work on consoles. For the Wii U to come out and be like, well, I don't know, like, just put it right here. Trust me, I'll be fine. Like, if you do that and something bad happens, you can't get it back. Like, there is precedent for how this should be done to avoid problems like that.
They're just going to send you more points. Obviously, that's the answer.
I mean,
about it, they'll send you points.
I mean, I guess. I guess it is an answer, but it's just, it's dumb. It's so dumb. You know, especially when
You know what? No, points sounds a lot better than Microsoft's way of shutting me to one console. I like that.
Well, see, yours is your own fault. Because you do not have the email and all that stuff that you were using before, like, at least from their standpoint, they are not at fault for what is happening. Even though they're assholes about it, like, technically, they didn't do anything wrong. Like, Nintendo, however, is like, it's like, I paid for these things with my money, and, like, I even wonder, like, if they send you point cards, like, what prevents you from being like, well, I guess I had every game? Where they'd be like, well, I guess that's okay. Do you have to send back, like, tax stubs? Like, is this like an IRS audit?
There's, I don't know. Maybe there's a group. If there's 50 or more games, they'll check.
I'm sure there's a way. If you claim that you have bought 50 or more games, they're like, sir, there's not actually 50 games available on the Wii U service right now.
Yeah.
On the Wii U shop, fucking whatever it's called. It's just crazy, you know?
I'm not saying it's not crazy. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, Matt, you wanted to talk about the Wii U.
Yeah, we talked about it. Is there, like, any game currently that on the Wii U that you would want to play?
There's only one game.
For me, it's Zombie U. I kind of want to play that.
I would play Little Inferno, which is a fireplace simulator.
I heard it has a story.
Done by the people that did World of Goo, which was really, really good. So I would be willing to give it a chance because people say it's like the greatest hidden gem out there for video games at the moment. Like, easily overlooked.
It's easily the best fireplace simulator there is.
Head and shoulders, flew and Yule log above any other chimney simulators right now. The fact that it's from those people and they say, like, you go beyond the chimney. That has enough for me to be like,
this is pretty Mary Poppins for me.
Yeah. A kick in the cunt. Otherwise, though, that's it, you know. Not in Zombie U.
And those port, like, I watched Giant Bomb's stream of it, and those, like, third-party ports, like, looked really bad.
Yeah,
and like bad frame rate. Bad. They didn't look that great, and and it's like, oh, we're playing Call of Duty Black Ops 2 on this thing, and like, oh, there's 300 people online playing this. Like, great. I'm sure a lot of people are going to buy those types of games on the Wii U.
Right, Hunter's up there, and it's like he logs in. And it's like 2 billion people playing Black Ops.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's really no reason to.
Yeah.
I mean, the novelty for me has passed where I was like, there was a short, very small window where I was like, I'll just go get one. Maybe you know, I'll just go get one.
You're going to go get one.
I was thinking about it. I was like, maybe I'll just go
get one. You will.
Well, so the...
Please don't.
The Dude, reason...
Let's all just split one.
At that point, it's like, I don't even know if I want to go that far. Like, that's kind of the feeling that happens. I'm like, unless something big happens to really shake things up and put something powerful out on the system, like, this one could just go forever. Like, I have owned at least 2 Nintendo Wiis.
I have not owned a single Wii, but I've owned Wii games and controllers, because that's how retarded they are.
My parents, they got one for the house, and they gave me it, and I played it for a while, and then I was like, this sucks, so I traded it in. And then I was like, wait a second, there's Wii games I want to play back in 2008 when the Wii was good. And good games were coming out for it. And then I got rid of it. And then I think in like 2009, I got it again because I was like, there's a couple more games I really want to play. So I bought it again and then I sold it again.
No wonder the Wii was in such high demand. People kept buying them and selling them and then buying them again.
No, it's people like my parents who bought a Wii. That you know, if my parents bought a Wii, then it's like, well... The world has turned upside down.
Oh, yeah. No, the day I went over to one of my ex's house and her mom was like, you want to play Wii? I was like, what?
I'm sorry, I want to smoke what? it's a weird thing. So I don't think the demand is going to be there. There's no games that I want to play. I'm much more comfortable just waiting for the next consoles, for the ones that actually matter.
When will they be announced?
Unreal Engine 4.
Yeah.
Saw a demo of that like a year ago, and that thing looked amazing.
Yeah.
Think they're still working on it?
Unreal Engine 4 is done.
Done completely?
Yeah, I believe so.
There's a handful of games that are being made using that engine, but the consoles, there's nothing concrete out yet about that.
Still using Unreal Engine 3, where you get a bunch of texture popping, and saw a lot of that in Assassin's Creed 3. I was like,
oh, really?
Bam, like, yeah.
Huh.
Texture popping. I was like, oh, damn, like this. It happened only like 2 or 3 times.
Like,
but
flying out, or when you say texture popping,
you see like
Everything looks really smooth and like the inside of an oyster.
Oh yeah, that happens a lot.
And then things like click in, and all of a sudden things are really, really crisp and sharp looking.
So they see the layers on top, and then like the image will be complete.
Every time you play a Gears of War 3 multiplayer match, it loads in, and it's like
Mass Effect.
Did you play Mass Effect 1?
Yes.
Oh god.
Did you ever go into a building or anything new there? Go into the menu.
Yep.
Did you ever hit a button?
I don't really mind texture popping, honestly. Like, yeah, I'm
it
from.
It fixes itself.
I don't mind frame rate either. Like, people were like, "Oh, AC3 frame rate was terrible," and I was like, "No, it wasn't.
Slows down,
it was fine.
Like, bad."
Well, yeah, Borderlands, the first one, like, had really bad.
Borderlands 2, even it sometimes you get.
I didn't mind 2 so much. And like Assassin's Creed 3, like, you know, Patrick Klepek's like, "Oh, the frame rate's terrible." I'm like, "It seems fine."
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't notice a lot of issues with the frame rate, but I guess I don't have an eye for that kind of thing.
It, like,
the only time I have an eye for it is when it is literally going at like 2 frames a second.
Well, there's also a difference between frame rate and lag, and like when you're playing online matches and things are like hiccuping and you're seeing like
I'm talking
the jumping
about
man.
Single player game.
Well, like, then yeah, that sucks.
Even, yeah,
but I also kind of really like lag sometimes, or frame rate issues. Like when I did my replay of Mega Man X, like there's this that level when you're in armored armadillo's level and you go out on the little platform and the birds are flying around you, and if you shoot your super like double charged up X Buster, there's too many things on the screen and the game's just like until you kill enough birds with your thing that they go out of the sky and you finally hit that wall and then all the speed comes back and you're like,
That happens more than once in the game if you...
Oh, yeah. There's a hell of a lot of slowdown on that, but
I
like
that. When did you replay that?
What?
When did you replay that?
Like 2 weeks ago, a week ago.
Damn it. I wish I could have watched.
Yeah, it's on the site. It's you can watch it.
I'm going to.
That's all I need to talk about Wii U. I'm good.
How was your battle with Sigma?
I didn't get to Sigma.
Oh.
Never have.
What?
Never have.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's ridiculously difficult unless you know what to do.
I might try and do something someday when I have, maybe not this year, but maybe next year or the year after, try and actually get through it. But
have you ever seen, like, the video of it?
Nope.
No?
No, I'm not going to watch it.
Oh.
What's Sigma again?
The last boss.
Final boss.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not Dr. Wiley, it's Sigma in the X Games.
Okay.
Brings back memories. I played that game over and over and beat it probably 100 times.
X?
Yep.
Oh, man, you should have been there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Anyway, other news that's going on right now. Let's see here. Walking Dead is out, like you said, Matt. Mm-hmm. It's, you can go get that. Anything else in the works? Aware of anything? Anybody?
Overall news-wise?
Yeah. Anything going on that you want to talk about? I don't think there's much since, you know, it's the end of time.
No.
Can't think of anything off the top of my
head. There's too much news with the world ending.
Far Cry 3 is like the only game that's going to come out
that
might be of any worth.
Yes, definitely. I was going to ask you, are you going to play any Borderlands 2 DLC, Mr. Torque's campaign of Carnage?
I'm going to wait till they increase the level cap, because I don't know if they store your experience or not, because I don't want to waste, like, killing guys or loot.
Yeah. I see.
So I'm going to play, like, I bought the season pass, so, you know, I can just get them whenever.
Funny, that Bungie game you're asking about, Ryan, is called Destiny.
Okay.
That reminds me of Stargate Universe.
Yeah, and there's been some stuff leaked online about it already.
Is it about a ship?
I don't know. I'm not going to read about it right now.
It's about this guy who's a super soldier who has his armor, who's fighting aliens.
Kurt Russell?
Sure. Make it anyone who you want.
Okay. Tell me more.
And he's fighting this, like, alien religious cult, right?
Okay.
And, like...
Scientologists.
Yes, Scientologists
so
are attacking.
It's Tom Cruise. Or is it Katie Holmes in the armor?
Katie Holmes is done with that.
Oh, right.
She's done? Completely.
She's done with that Scientology stuff. She got away from it.
All right. Well, I'm
sorry. Well, I'll play it.
Is there co-op?
Sure. Anything you want in it.
Yeah, that's about it. Honestly, there's not much for news right now. I mean, this is the end of the year. The only thing that's happening is like, there's no games coming out. And, I don't know, waiting for Game of the Year things to start trickling out. So, sorry.
I might have to delay my Game of the Year thing because I'm so behind on so many different games.
So am I.
Yeah, I should get going on those.
I'm
going
to kickstart it this evening.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I have so many games to play.
What do you have to play, Matt?
Resident Evil 6, Halo 4, Dissonored,
you don't have to play
Sleeping Dogs, XCOM, Max Payne, 6. There were others. I missed Spec Ops.
Oh, yeah, you should play that. Let me tell you.
That's 7 games off the top of my head that I need
have
to play.
Have you played any Call of Duty?
Call of Duty. That's 9 games I have to play.
Yeah. Your list is bigger than mine.
I've got a list here coming.
Your list is
huge
way
list.
Bigger than
huge.
Mine.
Huge. Yeah. I'm a big black guy. Of course I'd have a huge list.
It's as big as your mustache. Hold on here. Crap. Somebody
well,
talk.
You need to play Walking Dead. Well, no, Ryan, you go ahead. What games do you have to play?
Transformers. Black Ops is probably number one on that list.
Okay.
Like, but I'm talking internet capabilities, Black Ops. That's what I'm dying to play right now. Halo 4, Assassin's Creed 3, XCOM now after this evening. Definitely got to play that. I might play Max Payne.
Okay.
Hitman. I don't think I could sit through an entire Hitman after how slow that was moving. But I guess I've got about 5 or 6 games that I want to play in the next month.
Matt, I like your socks.
Oh, thank you. My ankle Puma socks.
Yeah.
I like
I think
socks.
You commented on my socks last week.
The week before.
Yeah,
they matched
the
carpet.
Because we had the same exact socks on. Just different sizes.
Okay, here's the list of games that I played this year. Anybody going to play Twisted Metal?
No.
I had a PlayStation.
Asura's Wrath.
Not going to play it.
Maybe.
Really?
No.
I mean, it's a crazy Capcom game, but
I have a lot of games to play. Not playing Asura's Wrath.
Syndicate.
I've played that.
You did?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Did you like it?
I moved. I was not thrilled. Like three out of 5 stars is probably what I'd give
it. Okay, okay.
I was not thrilled.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you talked about it. So we have some. Okay. How about Binary Domain?
Didn't play it.
Mass Effect 3.
Played it.
Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Did not play it.
Journey.
Did not play it.
Ryan, jump in here if you've ever haven't played
Mass Effect 3. That's the
only one so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, you guys aren't going to have played those. Skullgirls.
Nope.
No. Fez.
I played Fez.
Witcher 2.
I played Witcher. I beat Witcher 2.
So did I.
Walking Dead.
Beat that.
I own Witcher 2, actually.
Max Payne 3.
Got to play it. I ordered it.
Diablo 3.
Can't play
it. Wish I could.
Okay. Lollipop Chainsaw.
I would like to play it, but...
I played Torchlight 2, though. So.
Oh, yeah. Dragon's Dogma?
Would like to play it.
Why am I blanking on what Dragon's Dogma
it's
is?
It's a Capcom game.
RPG.
Oh, I'm not going to play it. No.
Jumping around
RPG, yeah.
on dragons and giant beasts. It's like Demon Souls, but not as hard and dark.
Mm-hmm.
Spec Ops The Line.
Already said I got to play it.
Prototype 2.
That's another game I have to play, so that's 10.
Did you play that one, right?
Yeah. No, I played the crap out of that game. I think I'm missing one achievement.
Out of Prototype 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Not the first. Both,
no.
right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Prototype 2. I own that.
I played the first one. But
Persona 4 Arena.
Do you want to buy that one from me?
I'm not going to play that.
Are these all the games you've played?
Yeah. This is some of them. I'm leaving out the obvious ones that you guys won't have played. Like Kid Icarus, Uprising, Final Fantasy, Theatrhythm, or Theatrhythm Final Fantasy. And I know you've played Spelunky, Matt.
Yes.
Darksiders 2.
Me.
That's another game. 11 games I have to play.
Dust, an Elysian Tale.
12 games I have to play.
Transformers, Fall of Cybertron.
Need it now.
Not going to play it.
Double Dragon Neon.
Awesome game.
Yeah, so good. Borderlands 2.
Played
in
it.
The bag for everybody here. Tokyo Jungle.
Not going to play
what
it.
What the fuck is that?
Resident Evil 6.
Yeah. Oh, that's another one on my list.
I gotta play it.
Assassin's Creed 3. Ryan, you need to. You've just heard everything about that game.
Yeah. I'll still play it.
Halo 4, Black Ops 2. Let's see. What are the other ones that I have just touched on? PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
I couldn't play that.
Hitman Absolution, you said you are going to. Far Cry 3 is really the last one of the year.
When did that come
13
out?
13 games I have to play.
What?
When did Far Cry 3 come
out? It won't
out?
Until December 5th, next week,
okay.
Tuesday.
I was going to say, like, I don't remember that happening.
Yeah, some reviews are going to come out soon, so.
Yeah. And then I've got iOS games here.
Yeah, I've played none of those.
Okay. Yeah, so that's current year video games, some of them that I've played.
Have you just been making that list throughout the year?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I make a list of every game that I have played or finished. And then
I'll probably start doing
you
that.
You guys that's actually cool. have access to this list, too. Through Google Docs, yeah. And then I have like old games that I played. Like I beat Simpsons Arcade game, Legend of Zelda, Metroid, Symphony of the Night, Metal Gear Solid, Peace Walker, Metroid Fusion, Legend of Zelda, Minish Cap, Zone of the Enders, Darksiders, and Chrono Trigger. I finished all those this year.
You played a couple good games in there.
Yeah, definitely. iOS games, I have Infinity Blade 2, Fart Cat, Burnout Crash, Sword and Sorcery, Angry Birds Angry Birds Space, 1 Million, Punch Quest, and then things you guys have not played or will not play will be Never Dead, Soul Calibur 2, Resident Evil Revelations.
Soul Calibur?
Yep. Kid Icarus Uprising, Pokemon Conquest, Final Fantasy Theatrhythm, and that's it.
Why did you play Never Dead?
Because it was like fucking January and nothing else was out.
Read a book. Don't play Never Dead.
I did read a couple books this year. It was good. Not Never Dead. That was bad. I wrote a review for it, too. I just wanted to play it because the premise seemed fun, but then the actual playing of it was absolute, utter nonsense.
I got 13 freaking games to play that came out this year.
You got some work to
by
do.
By the end of the year?
Yep.
At that rate, that's like 2.5 days per game. Better get started.
Doable. Well, a lot of them are only 8-9 hours, so they would be that difficult to beat.
And honestly,
that's if you're doing nothing but playing video games.
Well,
which I'll have nothing to do when I'm home. So,
Think of it this way too: is like you probably don't need to beat all those games on your list, right?
Oh, I'm going to beat them all.
But knowing Matt, he's probably going to get every freaking achievement.
No, possible.
No, a lot of those games, I'll just go through the single like. Yeah. Just do the single player stuff. I don't do multiplayer, and a lot of achievements are too hard.
Any single player thing that is available in the game.
Some easy stuff. If it's like, oh, you know, backstab 5 guys, like I'll go back and spend 5 minutes and do that. I'm like, okay, good. You know, easy stuff. You got trivia this week?
I do have trivia this week, so we'll finish up with that. All right.
What's your topic?
Well, the topic is pretty obvious once we start going, so I'm not going to give it away quite yet.
Okay.
The problem is I was only able to generate 9 questions. So the 10th question will be a mystery question that we won't talk about on air.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, all right. So do we decide a winner? Like, I mean, it's a mystery question off air?
No. The 10th question will be something that we'll just, yeah, it'll be a mystery.
All right.
Okay. But it is very ironic.
You guys will never know.
There's only 9 questions. Okay. Matt and Ryan, I have 9 questions here for you. The first one is, how many coins award a 1-up in Mario
Ryan,
games?
Matt. Okay, Ryan got
100.
It.
100. Good. Do you guys want to do this with paper or just, or buzz in?
I want to do paper.
Okay. Matt wants official.
I like doing that better too. But
I like to see like what each person thinks.
Let me get some paper here.
What is that Cheesecake Factory thing?
It's policies and procedures.
Okay.
Pen or pencil?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Question number 2. Is everything working?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Question number two. Volt Orb is what number in the Pokedex? You can write this down if you know it.
We have to write it down?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you don't know, you don't have to. But once you write it down,
I see what we're doing.
Then I'll tell you the answer.
I have no idea. I'm just guessed.
Okay. Has everybody guessed a number for Volt Orb? Okay, the answer is...
4.
9.
100.
Not even close.
Okay. Seeing a pattern here now? A theme?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Nope. Maybe this will help. Question number 3. This was a semi-popular game show hosted by Chris Cashman on Xbox Live, where one person would compete against the mob.
That's easy.
What is the name of this game show game? Okay. You guys got it?
Yep.
All right, what is it?
1 versus 100.
Yep.
1 versus 100. Good. Okay. Question number 4. This is a level in Kingdom Hearts, but is better known for being Pooh's Hangout. That's all I got for you.
You say Pooh's Hangout?
Pooh. Pooh. Winnie toilet? The Pooh. Oh. Winnie the Pooh.
Pooh Bear.
All right. Ryan, obviously you know. You're just bluffing. What's the name of this?
Ryan. The Toilet.
No.
100 Acre Wood.
Yes. Okay. Question number 5. This is a Wii U game shown extensively at E3 2012. It's described as Beautiful Joe meets Pikmin, and its code name was Project P100. Everybody is frantically scribbling words down onto their paper in front of them, because obviously they know the answer to this. This is a Platinum Games game, if that helps. Platinum.
I should know this.
You should.
I know I've heard it.
You'll, yeah. Okay, everybody has their answers written?
Sure. I can't think of anything.
Me neither.
The answer is Wonderful 101.
I've never heard of it.
Me neither.
No?
No.
The Wonderful 101?
I don't think so. I don't even think I've seen anything on it.
No, oh, okay. Well, number 6. Let's see here. What did I write? This PlayStation 1 title, in this PlayStation 1 title, 100% is not a complete full clear. In fact, it's 200.6 as the maximum completion percentage. What is the title of this video game?
He's got it. I have no idea.
Okay. The answer is, Matt?
Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Perfect. All right, question number 7. What is Master Chief's numeric designation? John, what? Ryan?
100?
Nope.
101.
No. 117.
Oh, I should have known that.
117. John 117. Okay. Okay. Let me see. Thank you. I didn't write this one down. I just looked it up. What is the name of the achievement that for Xbox Live, or the Xbox achievement that awards 100 gamer score? That is widely considered the most difficult achievement for any Xbox game that has existed to this point.
What's the name of the achievement?
Yes. It came, the achievement was found in Gears of War 3.
I was going to guess this.
Okay, 100 point achievement in Gears of War 3. Widely considered the hardest achievement of all times.
Okay, Ryan?
Seriously, 3.0?
Yes.
I didn't say that.
So. Seriously, 3.0. All right. And
that's considered the hardest achievement of all time.
What do you have to do in it?
Everything.
Everything.
Okay. In the game, multiplayer-wise, single-player-wise, absolutely everything. And multiplayer-wise, you have to kill, like...
25,000 different kills with different weapons. You have to get every award possible in the game. You have to play through every single mode to completion on the hardest difficulty.
I would say I'm actually 60% there.
Yeah, so it's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
You know how much I played that game, too.
Uh-huh. Finally, the last question I have on here is, no game has a perfect 100 on the website Metacritic. What is the name of the game that holds the closest score to 100? So what holds the closest or the highest score on Metacritic of a 98? Both versions for both Xbox and PS3 are tied at 98 for this game.
Oh, that changes my answer. Let me think.
Okay.
So you said for both PS3 and 360.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's at 98. Hold on.
There's
sorry.
No such thing on Metacritic as a 100. Perfect 100. Interestingly, if this does change either of your answers, the user score is in the 70s.
I think I know.
Think you know what it is?
I think so.
All right.
I'm going to get this wrong, but...
All right.
What do you think, Ryan?
Mass Effect 3?
No.
I said GTA 4.
It is GTA 4.
Really?
Yes. Oh. Nice, Matt.
I thought it was going to be... Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time that had the highest score.
I thought about that game too, actually.
But then you said 360 PS3, yep. Then I was like, oh.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Really, it's that high?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Why?
98.
That game sucks.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but.
Oh, well, it's not that good.
I agree. Somewhere in between the critic and the user side seems a little more appropriate, so. But anyway. That was all 9 trivia questions this week. Ironic that there's no 10th to make it 100.
Oh, that's funny.
If you want to get into the 10th question right now, I can ask you guys, how would you feel about moving the podcast to be once every 2 weeks? Instead of
that's
once every week.
That's the mystery question?
Yeah, that's fine. The mystery question.
I'm okay. We'll consider it. You feel like doing, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
Fine with me.
Okay. Well, we may be switching to that in the future once every 2 weeks, and then in the interim, we'll be able to do some video.
Okay.
So that way that, you know, you guys, instead of being over here and then being over here really late if we did video or just having to make special trips, this way we could kind of change things up, do some video, and still do the podcast. Maybe have more to talk about in the future, too.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, just as question number 10, just throwing that out there as an idea. It's been something I've been thinking about for a while. You know, it obviously won't take effect for, you know, probably until next year even. So we'll stick with the regular schedule until things become a little bit more concrete. And in the meantime, thanks for listening. This has been Boss Barrel Radio episode 100 with... myself, Griffin Hoffman, Ryan
Fielder.
I see
what you did there.
Matt Lake. What's up? What did it?
Yeah. You didn't get that earlier?
No, actually. My mind's really slow.
So 100. Thanks, everybody, for listening all the way through all this crap. We will be back next week, no doubt, for 101 to talk about who knows what.
We're going to have to teach some people something, I think, on that episode.
That's a great idea.
Maybe I'll do some trivia.
Who's doing trivia next week?
I'll do it. I haven't.
Ryan, you haven't done one in a while?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll shoot for then. We'll see you in the future. And thanks for listening, everyone.
Peace.